Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
I can't believe it. Thing is right there, and then we don't find a way to get it done and win a game. We just got to make one play, just one play. And some of these losses turned into wins. And so again, we just got to, as coaches, we got to spend this week finding a way to help everybody and get it done, because this is... It's sick. It's sick to lose like that. It's sick. That's what happened. So we got to own it, and we got to keep finding ways to improve and keep finding ways to find a win. These last 2 weeks, it hasn't happened.
That was Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. But he says it's sick to lose like that. What would the Bears have felt like if they would have lost that one? I mean,
same way.
Yeah, what do you mean it comes down to one play? You had like eight plays to score the two touchdowns. Like, what are you talking about? I get what you're saying. Like, you had the game in hand, and you got to make a play to come up with it. But the game was out of reach at that point. You hadn't scored in the fourth quarter. You scored 7 points the entire second half, up until that last minute. But I get it. Got to find games like that. Got to say those things. And it was a tough one. Regardless on which side of the ball you would have been on, that losing that game was a tough one, especially the way it happened in the last couple of minutes. But it's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on this Bears game, thoughts on Caleb Williams' performance, and thoughts on Kyle Manungai. 26 carries, 176 yards. It's a big one. Big day for him. Big day for Colston Loveland. 6 catches, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the Bears defense giving up 42 points. 10-10, 7-15. That's how it went by quarter for the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, you know, 2 scores per quarter, you know, outside of the third. I mean, that says a lot about your team. But, again, there were some standout highlights. Kyle Manungai, certainly one of them. And we're going to talk to Kyle out in Madison about his tocayo. That means the guy with the same first name. Kyle, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for taking the call.
Always good to talk to you.
I listened to that Ashton Gentry, Kyle Manungai comparison, and I about threw up. I'm the biggest homer there is, but give me Gentry all day.
Of course. He had a couple, Kyle. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Manungai reminds me a ton of Isaiah Pacheco, man. Just the way he pounds those feet into the ground and they never stop moving. Which is awesome, but yet scary, because I think you get 2, 3, maybe 4 years out of him if you really give him 20 touches a game. And, you know, you see what's going on with Pacheco now. He can't sustain your health when you run the way he does. Great to watch. I love it. I love he's a Bear. But my second point is this head coaching staff, I love Ben Johnson, man, but we got to figure out these penalties. And that onside kick, that really stood out of poor coaching, because we all know that ball's got to go 10 yards, and those players should not move until that ball goes 10 yards.
I mean,
because
you saw
why they recovered that onside.
Well, Kyle, because you saw, I think it was Hardy, takes a couple steps up to initiate the blocking within that 10-yard zone, and it's like, why? Like, what are you doing? Yep. It's almost as if he forgot about the ball going 10 yards. Because, listen, I played my fair share of football, obviously not in the NFL, but I remember, you could look up my stats, I played for Lane Tech in Chicago, and I remember my coach, we would start the game off, every game we started off the same. We do an onside kick every single game, didn't matter. We do an onside kick, and you know, I was on the hands team, so there were some times where, like, you know, you recover the onside, I almost had a touchdown in one of them, but you knew the nuances of that, right? Like the 10 yards,
right,
and where it should go. Like, these are things you're aware of in real time. And so the fact that, I mean, like, maybe they hadn't been on the opposite side of an onside kick for some while, from some time, but either way, it was just bad, right? Because they come down to score, right, the touchdown quickly, and as a Bears fan, you're just like, all right, we're still good. And then the onside kick happens, you're like, what the hell, man? Why do the Bears got to keep Bearsing in these situations? That's
exactly
what it felt like.
Why do the Bears got to keep – and that's just coaching staff getting a pass. Like, these penalties got to stop, and little things like that just tell me that this coaching staff, they have a grasp of things, but, man, some of these little things that can win and lose you games, it's scary. It's scary because you can see the implode coming.
Yeah, and I will say this too, Kyle. There was one penalty in particular on DJ Moore where it was an illegal shift. And, you know, when the penalties pile up, you're like, okay, if it's on Theo Benedict, I understand. If it's on, you know, a rookie, fine. Or somebody that has jitters, okay. But DJ Moore, like, come on, Papa, we cannot have that happening. Like, when you're talking about coaching staff or veteran leadership or people taking responsibility for what's happening, it's like, these are simple mistakes that can be cleaned up. And, like, you can't have DJ Moore having an illegal shift in a situation like that, you know?
Yeah, or the Caleb Williams delay a game at the goal line.
Oh
there.
My God!
You know, like,
oh my God!
Can't happen.
And if the Bears weren't the beneficiary, of the offsides on the field goal kick, they wouldn't have had the touchdown on the second. You know what I mean? Like, there's small things like that end up exposing itself throughout the game. But Kyle, you said something about Kyle Manungai, and you were talking about, you know, the type of runner that he is. You still there? There you go.
Yeah,
Kyle.
I'm here.
Yeah. So I did this last night after the game. I was trying to find comparable running backs to Kyle Manungai. Now, granted, it's one game, and so you're more so talking about the ceiling of what it can look like if he were to do it consistently. And I kept thinking about Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, like the small, stocky, pinball kind of a guy. There's Ray Rice, the Bengals, former Ravens running back. Devontae Freeman, I thought he was a lot taller than this, but he's only 5'8", which is interesting. And then Michael Turner, you remember him from the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm thinking those are like the smaller guys that were quick that you felt like, you know, could kind of be like a Kyle Manungai. But then you saw him out of the backfield. I mean, listen, he has vision, right? Like, he understands he needs to hit the hole, but then he'll find that moment where he's like, okay, but if I just veer to the right a little bit, I might pick up an extra 2 yards. And I think that's what he has, that he does better than other running backs, where most running backs hit the hole because they don't want to get yelled at by their coach. I feel like Manungai, because he's an imposing physical runner, he's like, I can hit the hole, but even if I veer to the side, I probably can lean forward and get a couple extra yards.
Yeah, for sure. I just, every time I saw him, just the way those feet moved, it just, Pacheco just kept coming to my mind, and it was just like, this dude can run. He's got good vision. You know, I'd like to see him utilized a little more in the pass game too, not always taken out. But, it was cool to see. And just Pacheco just kept popping in my mind for some reason.
Yeah. Listen, Pacheco will always pop into my mind because he's Puerto Rican. So shout out to the Boricua out there. Isaiah Pacheco, handling business. Wish you a speedy recovery. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Go to Richard. Richard, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So what are your thoughts on this one? It seemed like, you know, 47 points for the Bears, giving up 42 to the Bengals. Certainly an exciting game, but maybe not the excitement that I was looking for.
I don't know. I look at this team, and, you know, maybe I'm a little excited about them because Loveland's young, Manungai's young. Caleb's young, you know, like you said, you got the Mercedes in the garage that's young, and Dunze. They got some weapons that are young, and I think they're going to get better as they gel and as they get older, a little bit more experience. You know, Ben Johnson's got a complicated offense, and it just takes time. It's like being in school, in high school. Remember when we were learning algebra? It was tough. I mean, I failed it. I failed algebra, you know, I'm not going to lie. I went to Gordon Tech right next to you where you went to Lane.
Hey, shout out Gordon. Shout out my Rams over there.
You know, so I just, you know, I'm excited. I hey, look at the last couple of years, what we have, and look what we have now. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's a great point, you know, that the Bears are young and there's definitely a foundation there that we can agree on. I think if there's one thing that has been established this season, Richard, is that, you know, the Bears do have pieces that can allow them to contend in the future, especially if those pieces get better, right? If Caleb gets better, if Loveland gets better, if Roma Dunze gets better, if some of the young guys on defense step up, I think, you know, you're talking about a team that can, you know, potentially compete, you know, to at least for the division, you know. And I think that Ben Johnson is still assessing his team in real time. I know it's 8 weeks in, but he's still understanding what he has, what his team can do well, but also more importantly, what he wants to add to this team in the offseason in order to get it to the level of the Detroit Lions, a team that he was on that made deep playoff runs. I think that's the most telling thing. I'm curious your thoughts about Caleb's performance in comparison to Kyle Manunga. I've been talking about it all night, where in this game in particular, the assumption was that the Bears were going to lean on Caleb Williams because there was no DeAndre Swift. But as a result of some inefficiency in the first half, you saw Ben Johnson lean on Kyle Manunga, the seventh round rookie, instead. What was your takeaways from Caleb's game, an overall game, I should say, in this victory?
I think it was okay. I mean, he made some mistakes, like you said, when he was in the red zone, you know, the time ran out. He made some mistakes there. He still, there was that throw to Ndunze. Even Archuleta said if he would have threw it in front of him, that's a touchdown, but he threw it behind him a little bit there. He still gets a little nervous. I think he rushes himself a little bit there. You know, time's going to tell. Time's going to tell. And I think he went back to the running game because they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop Mangungai. They couldn't stop him. So, you know, when I was watching, you were watching, everybody was watching is, why keep giving the guy the ball until he can get stopped, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's how the game just went, you know?
And that's the tough one. That's the tough one right there. But I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for that, man. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. We got all day to be talking about the Chicago Bears, the inefficiencies, the areas of improvement, and also the standouts. For that matter, what stood out to you? We're going to be doing that all day long. Of course, I got you for about another 45 minutes, leading you into Dustin Rhodes. He's going to take care of you with a detailed breakdown of the game. And of course, I'm sure he'll have some other tidbits for you. And then Dustin hands it off to his guys, Mully and Hall. And they got two great guests for you. Olin Kreutz, he's going to jump on at 7 o'clock in the morning, just 3 hours from now, and talk about this game. I can't wait to see all the clips on social media. Shout out to the social media team. They do a great job getting that stuff up. TJ Edwards will hang out with Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock. Then Raheemy Harrison Grody. They got Anthony Heron at 11. Then Dan Weeder at 1. And then last but not least, rounding things out, Spiegel and Holmes come on. And they got Kurt Warner. Yes, that Kurt Warner from the greatest show on turf that's been wrenching several times throughout the show today. He'll be on at 3 o'clock. And then Chris Emma, who was at the game, he'll be on at 5:25. So again, all day on The Score. We are live and local, giving you all of the latest from the best right here. And we want you guys to make sure you're hanging out for that. But, you know, what a game yesterday. Bears get the victory, but it felt icky. I don't know. Some of these wins, you know, in soccer, shout out to Chicago Fire. They ended their season over the weekend. But in soccer, sometimes you can have a draw and it could feel like a win. Right, like you tied a team you weren't supposed to tie, and so it felt good. Like we got the draw, but it was like a victory. Got me feeling good. And then there's draws that feel like a loss, where you're the better team, and you end up drawing, and you probably should have won. So it feels icky. That's how I feel about this one. Bears won. Bears should have won. Bears put up 47 points, and you're telling me it was a nail biter still? That's an issue for me. So in your mind, was this a big win for the Bears or just a near disaster? When you're thinking about Caleb Williams' game winner, was that the standout for you, or was it letting Joe Flacco throw for 470 yards? When you're thinking about Ben Johnson, do you feel like he trusted Caleb Williams after that game was over? Because I sure didn't. I felt like he needed to lean on Kyle Manunga a little bit more. because he didn't trust that Caleb Williams could get the ball out of his hands quick enough, make the right read, throw the right pass. Then DJ Moore, oh, man, catching the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, DJ Moore, he got that. Ben Johnson said he got to get him this thing a little bit longer. But, I mean, DJ Moore threw the touchdown, got 72 receiving yards. Then he had a 17. I mean, it was good. That's your star coming through saying, give me the ball and I'll do whatever you need me to do with it. But again, curious about your thoughts. 312-644-6767. On the other side, we're going to hear a little bit from Colston Loveland. What did tight end one have to say about his game-winning catch? We'll hear some of that. We'll also hear some of Ben Johnson. But I'm more interested in what you have to say. Got about 40 minutes left. Would love to hear your thoughts on this game. Bears beat the Bengals 47-42. But I'm curious what your takeaways are. How did this game leave you feeling? 312-644-6767. Your call's next on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Yeah, we were looking for that coverage.
When you see that coverage, like, what do you, and you know the play call, what's kind of going
through
your head?
Yeah, in that moment, I'm when he calls it, I'm wishing, I know exactly what coverage he was wanting for that one play. Throughout the whole game, we were hunting it the whole game, and in that moment, we were on the sideline, when him and I were on the sideline speaking, he was like, I think we're going to get this coverage here in this moment, and it's awesome when you got a coach like that. I think we ended up getting the coverage, just like I said, threw a solid ball, O-line blocked well, like I said, Colston made a great play for us.
It's Caleb Williams talking about his connection to Colston Loveland on that final play to give the Bears the victory. Bears win 47-42 against the Cincinnati Bengals, taking the record to 5-3 on the season. Big game because, of course, the Green Bay Packers lost to the Carolina Panthers yesterday on a last-second field goal. And then J.J. McCarthy was out there balling against the Detroit Lions. So a good win for the Bears, who face a New York Giants team on Sunday at home. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bears fare in that one before the schedule turns to a little bit more difficulty. But I'm curious in your thoughts on this one. 312-644-6767. Bears win by 5, but it didn't feel like a good victory. There's some icky feeling still. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. I'm just not enjoying this victory as much as I should. And I'm the one that's always talking about there are only a finite amount of happy Mondays throughout a football season. You got to enjoy them. But here I am, not necessarily feeling the greatest. But if I look at my soul, it's because the Bears are 5-3, but are they a 5-3 team? Right? I can name some other squads that are 5-3 on the season, but I want to hear your thoughts. Again, 312-644-6767. And of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I got about a half an hour left with you guys. Then, of course, Dustin Rhodes taking over with the pregame show. Then he'll hand it off to Mully and Hall, who have some great guests lined up for you. Olin Krutz, former center for the Chicago Bears, jumps on at 7 o'clock. Then, of course, TJ Edwards jumps on at 8, current Chicago Bears linebacker TJ Edwards. Then Raheemy Harris, Mark Grody. They got Anthony Herron at 11, then Dan Weeder at 1, and Spiegel and Holmes have a couple of good guests for you as well. They got Kurt Warner jumping on at 3, and then Chris Emma jumps on at 5:25. All right, here's some other teams that are 5-3. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 5-3. Are the Bears a Pittsburgh Steeler team? The Jacksonville Jaguars are 5-3. Okay. That puts the Bears in some company. The Kansas City Chiefs are 5-4, if you're curious on what that looks like. And in third place in the AFC West, which, I'm sure I can't remember the last time they were in there. The Lions are 5-3. Are the Bears the Lions? That's what I'm trying to say, if you understand what I'm saying here. We're picking up what I'm putting down. So those are your handful of teams that are 5-3 right now, including the Chicago Bears. And I don't know if they're the... Are they the worst 5-3 team that's out there right now? Possibly. The Carolina Panthers are 5-4. Bears certainly, I would like to think, better than them. But again, I want to hear what you have to think. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. I know we got a lot of feelings about this game. Some good, some bad. I'm curious what that is for you. Let's go out to Mark in Winnetka. Mark, happy Bears Victory Monday, my friend.
I'll take the victory. I always take the victory. 5-3. There's some good, obviously. 5-3 is good. Being this close at the division lead is good. But the big worry, and it's a big worry, is the defense is absolutely horrendous. That's the third game this year. They've allowed 500 yards or more, which is by far the most in the league. That defense is horrible. And we're not going very far in the playoffs when the D is playing that poorly.
Mark, let me ask you this, because, I mean, I think we all can agree that the defense isn't necessarily playing up to the standard of the Chicago Bears. You think we think Dennis Allen is doing a good enough job with what he has available to him. Obviously, in the beginning of the season, no T.J. Edwards, no Kyler Gordon. Jalen Johnson goes down with the injury. So there's been, you know, obviously big pieces that are missing on this defense. But what's the worst part to you, right? Because initially, Mark, we were talking about the lack of a pass rush for the Bears defense. Montez Sweat not getting after it. Then all of a sudden, he's been playing well. But your DBs go down. Tyreek Stevenson was out last week. Then he comes back. You got Gardner Johnson coming in. So what's the if the defense is the weakest part, what's the worst part of that defense?
I mean, I don't know if it's, like you said, the pass rush is starting to get there. But I don't know if it's the scheme. I mean, you had Joe Flacco score 2 touchdowns on that defense with no timeouts in like 30 seconds each drive. I mean, you just cannot allow that.
Yeah, that was the embarrassing part, because you like guys like Nashawn Wright. You feel like he's capable. You like Kevin Byard, right? I mean, and I do like Tyreek Stevenson. So then again, it's like, is it the scheme? Is it the play calling in certain moments? Because there were moments where you thought like you wanted them to put more pressure on Joe Flacco. I don't know. It didn't seem right. You're definitely correct about that.
500 yards the third time. I mean, it's only happened 2 other times in the rest of the league. The Bears have 3. The rest of the NFL has 2 games allowing 500 yards. So there's something off there.
Oh, my gosh. There is something. And the funniest thing about it is, you know, the Bears are up there in time of possession, right? So it's not like opposing teams have the ball for a long time. I mean, even in this one, I think the Bears won the time of possession battle by like 10 minutes. Yeah. Bears had the ball for...
It's only taking them 10 seconds to score. That's why Flacco's going down in less than a minute, and they got 14 points in a minute and a half. It's crazy.
And another game. I mean, listen, we could talk about the defense, but another game where the defense creates 3 turnovers. Bears have 0, and yet the game still comes down to the last minute, right? The Bears can't create enough separation between these teams, even with the turnovers, to find themselves in a better predicament. But it's tough, and it's certainly something that needs fixing, and I don't know if it's a depth issue or a scheme issue, as you mentioned, Mark, but Bears definitely got to get to the bottom of it, especially in these next couple of weeks against some much tougher opponents coming up.
Exactly. We'll see. Well, thanks. Love your show. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you calling in. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Ready to hear your thoughts on this Bears game. Bears defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 47-42. Let's take Russ out in Palos Heights. Russ, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I think quarterbacking is timing, and then it develops a certain rhythm. I think about Tom Brady and as a, for instance, a guy who could, in the course of time, flow a game so that you knew that last minute was going to be dangerous. That rhythm is absent in Caleb's game. I don't know that it can get there because he's been an improv guy since he was 11 or 12 years old. It may be, I'm hoping not, but it may be that his ceiling is that he can't develop. I mean, when I watch the games, I don't see that kind of rhythm. And it shows itself in the zone, in the short field, in the red zones. You need timing there. You need a certain rhythm there, and that's where they seem to be helter-skelter.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, Russ, because, you know, this was a game that I think most of us thought that Ben Johnson and the Bears were going to lean on Caleb Williams' arm, right? Where you're going up against the second worst passing defense in the NFL, and you're without DeAndre Swift. So the assumption in my mind was that Caleb Williams was going to, you know, throw the ball 40 times, and they were just going to, you know, accept the fate of the team. But it was almost, and I'm not sure if you saw this, Russ, towards the second quarter, when Caleb couldn't, you know, was seeming a bit inefficient, Ben Johnson just said, "Hey, you know what? Screw it. I'm just leaning on the run for the rest of the game." Did it feel that way to you?
Can you imagine? I just can't imagine Caleb being able to throw a timing pass. I can't imagine any of his receivers being out there, since he moves around so much that as the receivers go out, that they're going to be throwing the ball before they make a cut. I just can't imagine him doing that.
Yeah, it's tough, and I think that Ben Johnson sees that too. I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, what we've been talking about, Russ, and you mentioned obviously the play of Caleb Williams in his younger years. You know, what he does do well, and we've seen it on display in the NFL, is come through and move the ball with less than 2 minutes, right? He can put you in a position to score or to get points on the board. I was talking to a caller about it earlier, where it's almost as if he has the horse blinders on during those 2 minutes, right? Where his own brain can't get in the way. He's more concerned with getting these points than he is about playing on time or, you know, getting the ball to the proper receivers. It's almost like he blacks out and goes into like proper quarterback mode in those times. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I think also when they keep on saying, well, you know, quarterbacking takes time to develop. Well, I'm not sure if you've got that continuous improv idea about how you're going to operate your job, that it can easily be changed. I think that ceiling's a little lower than most people are expecting.
Yeah, Russ, thanks for the call. And if there's one person that can see that, it's Ben Johnson, right? If one person's pointing it out during film sessions, it is Ben Johnson. And those are the things that I'm curious about, because we're still complaining about penalties, and I know they're pointing this out and making it a point of emphasis. And then we're still talking about Caleb's inability to throw on time, and I know that's a point of emphasis. So if these are points of emphasis, then why are they not being cleaned up at the rate in which they should be cleaned up in? I'm not saying Caleb Williams should be like Sam Darnold last night, 21 for 24 for the Seattle Seahawks. But damn, give me 26 for 35. Or 26 for 34. Give me 25 for 34. 20 for 34, I just think about 14 opportunities for playmakers to come down with the ball, and they aren't given the opportunity to do so. 312-644. 67-67. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Dustin Rhodes coming up at 5 o'clock. Mullion Hall with Olin Krutz and TJ Edwards at 7 and 8. Just guys all throughout the show. You got to make sure you're here on 670 The Score and hanging out with us. But let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Jason in Manuka. Jason, a lot of people have been talking about Caleb Williams and the timing of plays. What was your big takeaway from this game yesterday?
Thanks, Gabe. It's kind of crazy to me when you hear, like, the last caller say he can't even imagine Caleb Williams with timing. And look at the last play, that was perfect timing. Right over the linebacker's head, to an absolute dart to Colson Loveland. I mean, that, you don't have to imagine it. We saw it.
True.
Now, do I agree that you know, I would like to see a little more consistency. But he hit DJ Moore on quite a few more. He wasn't as reliant on Rome as he had been all season. And you know what? He moved the ball when they needed to, as he's shown throughout his young career. So while I know there's consistency issues and I want to see him step up and be more accurate, but you mentioned even that one to Rome, you know, in the end zone. If you take a step back and you look at it, there's two defensive linemen that are jumping up, and I think he threw that behind Rome in hopes that he would make the play, because if he let him, that was getting batted down at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, could have been the case. It's funny, though, Jason, because you talk about the throw to Coast and Loveland, and you know, in that same conversation that I just had with Ryan, it was me saying how in the last 2 minutes of a half, Caleb Williams has his like horse blinders on. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not distracted by anything else other than, you know, I got to win this game, or I got to put points on the board. So he's not doing the typical operational stuff. And I think you got a chance to see that in a Coastal Loveland play, right? Where you take a shot, middle of the field, seam route, in between four defensive backs, or you know, a mix of DBs and linebackers, and you still find a way to make that play. I think we all see that he's capable of doing that. So it's like, but that was the big play that Caleb often chases, right? Like that play to Coastal Loveland is what Caleb wants every play. And it would just be nice to see a few more, just three or four more, you know, where a slant route happens and he's just hitting the guy with a three-step drop consistently. And I think that was the key phrase that you threw out there, was consistency. But you still feel like he's capable, right? I mean, even though you're not seeing it consistently, you still are anticipating that consistency at some point, correct?
Oh, yeah. I definitely see a young player that has a very high ceiling, and I think he can get to it. I think things are moving a little fast for him. Yeah, everyone admits Ben Johnson's offense is you know, complicated, can be hard to pick up at times. And I think sometimes he gets a little quick behind center and making his reads. And I agree with you. Sometimes he's looking for the home run ball. But that's something that I don't want to see them coach out of a young player, because
yeah,
I've seen that way too many times with Bears, you know, quarterbacks. I don't want Shane Matthews. I want Caleb Williams.
I don't want third and eight and you throw a 6-yard pass. That's Shane Matthews. I don't want that. That's not what I want right now. But let me ask you this question before you get out of here, Jason. At 5-3, this Bears team, are they good or just entertaining?
That's a great question. I think they're building towards good. I think that the defense, with as many injuries, I still give Dennis Allen a lot of credit for coaching up the way he has. I mean, you're talking about third, fourth, fifth stringers playing cornerback. And then he just played against arguably two of the best wide receivers. And I know Higgins ate him up, but Ja'Marr Chase didn't. And that was something that I think all of us were terrified of going into this week, that this was going to be a 13 reception, 225 yards score for yeah, Ja'Marr Chase. So I see a team that's building a culture that believes in. They have holes, and you know, unfortunately, I think it's on probably both the offensive and defensive lines. I still think we need a legit NFL left tackle. Theo Bennett's done a yeoman's work there as an undrafted, you know, free agent that's, you know, come in and been forced to play. But that's something that you really need to shore up, because there's still times a lot of what I see Caleb sometimes doesn't seem like he has a lot of confidence in that pocket. So he's getting a little bit of feet looking to run out of it and make something happen, even when there's time that he does have time to step up and throw it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jason. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And I love your answer. When I said, are the Bears good or just unbelievably entertaining, you said they're working towards good. That's tough. We're a tough crowd in Chicago, where you could be two games over 500, feeling good about yourself, and we're still like, are you good or just entertaining? And I think that's the question I have for you as we head into our last segment. 312-644-6767. You saw the game yesterday, or at least the highlights. Bears win 47-42 against the Bengals. Now sit at 5-3, but are they good? Or are they just entertaining in the moment? 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Charlie Jones going to play it from just inside his end zone. And Jones has his seam. Jones, 30, 20, 10, touchdown. No flags. 99 yards to get the party started by Jones.
That's how things started for the Chicago Bears. But then they dug themselves out of the grave. They dug themselves out of the ditch and ended up putting 47 points on the board against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, Cincinnati Bengals. The worst rush defense in the NFL and the second worst pass defense in the NFL. But you got to get the job done, right? Ben Johnson clearly came in and was like, I'm not letting Caleb lose this game. I'm going to have a heavy dose of run. I'm going to take controlled shots down the field, couple of gadget plays, and everything worked until it didn't. It's when Cincinnati started landing haymakers late haymakers. And then, of course, after a game of leaning on your run, you had to go back to the man himself, the reason why you drafted him number one, so he can go in and win the game. All he needed was a field goal. Ended up connecting with Colston Loveland, 56-yard touchdown. The awesome drama you were waiting for, but not something that you want on a week on a week, a week in week, week on week, week in.
Are you trying to say weekend?
No, week in.
Week in?
A week in week, all the time situation.
It worked.
Because if you trust Caleb Williams to make the throw with the season on the line or in his hands, then you should trust him to own the middle of the field, and that's exactly what he did. Bears get another victory, 5-3 on the season. Some would say they're entertaining. Some would call them good. Curious what you got to say before we get out of here. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Handing it off to Dustin Rhodes in just under 15 minutes, who will give it to Mully and Hall. They got Olin Krutz jumping on at 7, then TJ Edwards at 8. Raheemy Harrison Grody come on next, and they got Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Wiederer at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner at 3 and Chris Emma, who was in Cincinnati for the game, at 5:25. Right now, we're going out to the phone lines. Let's go to John, one of my favorites out in Memphis. John, what up?
What's up with you? How you doing, man?
You know, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about this game, John, to be honest. Like, I want to be happy about Caleb, but then I feel like there's, you know, still areas for improvement. I want to be happy for Caleb, but they leaned on the run. I want to be happy for the defense, but they let up 42 points. It's like, I don't know how to feel about this one.
Okay. I think we all need to take it easy with the criticism on Caleb Williams, because he had 3 offensive coordinators and 25 games, his first 25 games of his career. We just need to pump the brakes and take it a little bit easy, ease up on him, give him a little grace. And it's hard. It's hard when you have that much change as a young quarterback. Because you learn in different philosophies.
John, I want to push back a little bit, because how are we supposed to coach him then, right? I mean, obviously the fans are not coaching him, but this is what coaches should be telling him too, right? So what should that look like then? If it shouldn't be criticism, and I agree with that. I actually agree with that statement. Like, we should pull back the criticism, that word in particular. But there has to be assessment still, right? We still have to be able to say what's in front of us and what he's not doing well.
Those are young mistakes. He had to be like broken down, like how Ben Johnson. And by the way, I believe Ben Johnson is the. I see it. I'm 42 years old. I see it. He's gonna be the next Lovie Smith, you know, for us. But I see it. He had to break him down and unteach him the things that he was doing wrong. And I see the footwork is improving. Do we like to escape the pocket a little bit too much? I see that too. You know, but we got to be a little more, you know, lenient with him. He's still young. 25 games, and you already had 3 offensive coordinators. I mean, it's hard for me to be against the young man. I see the throws that he makes, the sidearms, and the decision-making. He's not somebody that's going to give you 3 or 4 picks. I just want us to just
relax. Think, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, I think, John, the reason why we're so hard on Caleb, it's kind of like when you have that good kid on your team and you're a little harder on him because you know what he can be, right? And I think with Caleb, you're right. There are moments where he flashes brilliance. And we see it, and we as Bears fans or coaching staff say, wow, if we can get that more often, then, you know, we'll be in a great position to have a team that can compete at the highest level. And I think it's just not done enough, right? Where it's like, okay, you can do that, but I need you to do it more often, and I need you to make better decisions with the ball. Like, I think we're just pointing out the areas of improvement in order for him to
yes.
get to where we want him to go.
Yes. Okay. Now, I will say this, and that this is in my opinion. Come December 15th, I don't know what day that's going to be. Come December 15th, I'm going to know so much more about this young man, because we got a lot of divisional games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start playing the Detroits and the Minnesotas and the Green Bays again, that's going to tell me a whole lot. And I believe we got 2 games against Green Bay.
Yep.
I could be wrong.
No, you do.
In the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to tell me a whole lot about the young man. Because Ben, I got faith in Ben. Because these games that we are winning right now, last year, can we say we'll be winning them games?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No, I think we can all agree with that. And I think you make a really great point where, you know, let's look at the last 5 victories, or the 5 victories that the Bears have on the season, right? Against the Cowboys
yes.
team, the Raiders, the Commanders,
yes,
Saints,
sir.
And then the Bengals, right? You're talking about, and then you lost to a Ravens team without Lamar Jackson. So it's not like they're impressive victories when you're looking at strength of victories. Then you got yes. the Giants coming up, which should be a winnable game. And then I would say the Vikings should be a winnable game, especially because you have a sour taste in your mouth from the first game of the season. Now, after that, to your point, John, you got Steelers, yes. Eagles, Packers, Brown, Packers, Niners, Lions. Like that, there's some tough teams in there. So what you don't want to have happen.
Can you go 500?
Exactly. Like, what you don't want to have happen is where you're beating the teams that you're supposed to and then losing to the teams that you're supposed to, right? You have to, Caleb Williams needs to come out and win one of those games to kind of change the narrative on everyone that's out there.
Yes. Now, I'm going to ask you a quick question
sure,
now and
sure.
take up too much of your time. The trade deadline, when is that? And then do you think we need to beef up, like, the pass rush? Because something is missing.
Yeah, I hear you, John.
Something is missing on that defense.
I hear you. And this is what I'm thinking is that, you know, you've heard, like, Adam Schefter report that, you know, the Bears have been making phone calls about some, you know, pass rushers on the defensive end. But it was good to get Austin Booker back yesterday. He certainly made a difference in his first day back. I mean, he got a sack. You saw him putting pressure, making the right tackle extremely uncomfortable opposite of Montez Sweat. And that also opens up lanes for Montez Sweat. You saw Javon Dexter in the backfield a lot. So I think, you know, when you look at yesterday's game, granted, it wasn't enough pressure, right? You still had three sacks. Gardner Johnson had one. Montez Sweat had one. So, I mean, there are things that you can look at. But, yeah, I think more so than anything else, you might want to shore up that secondary, right? You bring in Gardner Johnson, great. He takes over for the Kyler Gordon role. But when you have Nick McCloud, you know, as your spell CB, I don't know, 470 yards in the air from Joe Flacco. It's just, it's tough, but you're always looking for room for improvement. And I believe the trade deadline is November 4th. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, the good thing is this, Bears fans, the Bears are 5-3. You get another happy Monday, courtesy of the Chicago Bears, even though it was a nail biter. Certainly a happy one. And of course, today we are going to be taking care of you on 670 The Score all day long. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. A couple minutes from now, Dustin Rhodes taking over with the pregame show to give you all the deets surrounding the Bears' victory. Then I'll hand it off to Mully and Haw, who have Olin Krutz at 7, TJ Edwards at 8. Then Raheemi Harrison Grody got Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Weeder at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes round things out at 3 o'clock. They have Kurt Warner and then Chris Emma at 5:25. All right, I want to thank my producer, Grant Leader, for holding things down today, man. Excellent job, sir. Excellent job.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
You did good, but you did good, too.
Oh, you did excellent, and I did good. All right.
All right, you did excellent. No, Emmy Award-winning Gabe Ramirez.
Thank you. For those of you that didn't hear, your boy won an Emmy over the weekend. So, yes, you have been listening to Emmy Award-winning host Gabe Ramirez for the last 5 hours on 670 The Score. But the good news is the show continues on all day long. We are taking care of you right here, so do not go anywhere. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, Emmy Award-winning Gabe Ramirez. And this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Weederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.